This is a Beyond Casterbrews podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrews.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the podcast. You know what you're listening to. I don't know why I do that bit anymore, because you have that all pre-recorded, so I don't need to do this bit. I might not even include it in the podcast. I'm Christian Corley. He's Brian Terranova.
Which one? This one. This one is.
Yeah. And he's James McLean.
He is, indeed. And this is chip number four.
Three of us have got together for this week's podcast with a K. And we actually missed the podcast last week.
We went ahead, we just weren't there.
Yeah, but well, I mean, we had a coaxial last week, and we had a short coaxial before that as well. Was it kind of a coaxial trailer?
I don't know. It's starting to sound like some, I don't know, foreign massage parlor or something. I went and had a coaxial. I don't know. It doesn't sound right. It sounds dodgy.
Okay. Well, it's just the name of it. It's just a cable coaxial connection, isn't it?
Coaxial. I suppose it's still...
Yes, aerial.
Yeah,
cable.
But you don't have a coaxial, do you? You don't have a cable connection like that. The actual use of the term sounds like you're going off and having something done to you. So it's either something which has hair removing or something which has oil placed around yourselves, which could be a very interesting place to have a podcast. Picture the two of you there.
Yeah.
Oils and all. Come on, keep picturing it.
So anyway, so... obviously, when we're recording this, something big has just happened in the world of Doctor Who, and that is the release of Power of the Daleks. And we're going to come to that in a couple of weeks when we're all caught up, and
we're
going to watch it together. And maybe there'll be more chips that night, I don't know. But this week... now that we're all reconvened, and some with and some without chips, we're going to be talking...
I'm the one with chips.
And I'm the one with ginger beer. Which always trumps chips.
And I'm here too.
We're talking about Class.
Well, we hope to be.
We don't have any of, apparently.
I was going to make some sort of post, because when this goes out, we'll be in a different world order of one way or the other. So it's kind of interesting to...
Well, it's probably best not to get drawn into that direction.
Well, I wasn't actually interested in the politics. I'm just saying that it's interesting that we are, when we're recording this, on the cusp of a change, which when people are listening to this, will have absorbed and know the results. I feel like I'm uneducated, and the listener is educated, because the listener will have, at that moment, more information upon the situation of the world than I have at the moment. Because not been temporarily educated.
Well, I mean there's been an explosion. That's kind of weird. There's been an explosion this evening at a Russian naval base, and apparently there's an accumulation of troops in Europe and NATO troops in Europe, but we're not going to get drawn on that, because we're here to talk about Class, the BBC's Doctor Who spin-off, created and written by Patrick Ness. It's up to episode 4 this week. We're going to be talking primarily about episode 1, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is the only one that all three of us have seen.
All four of us? That's interesting.
And so it kicked off a few weeks ago with the cast of children. It's not really children. I think there's only one child or one child character. And it seems to be a sixth form. And you have a appearance by the Doctor in there. And you have Catherine Kelly, formerly of the programme about the department store in London, Selfridge, Mr. Selfridge, and before that, Coronation Street. And you have some nice looking aliens, and you have some stuff going on which isn't drastically different from a school based episode of Doctor Who, but you know, that is the main setting, and of course it's at Coal Hill. Now I've only watched it once, but I have watched the four episodes to date at the time of recording this podcast. Guys, I know we've got mixed feelings about Class. So it's very difficult to sort of like go into something without going, it's crap.
in this case, it is very difficult.
But I wonder how you felt, because one of the key selling points about the first episode is Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
No, I didn't feel that the episode actually gained anything from having the Doctor in it.
No.
Probably viewers, which was the point of having him in it.
Yeah. But narratively, and it didn't add anything to having the Doctor. If anything, it possibly took away from the story.
Yeah, possibly. Well, I don't know. It was sort of like watching a show which you weren't very interested in, and then you turn over and you see a clip of Doctor Who and you turn back to it. It was that sort of feeling, as it sort of shifted. I think the problem is that it's sort of like doing an episode of Gotham, and then three quarters of the way through, when things are getting very tense for all these characters you're trying to establish, Batman comes in and saves the day and then leaves, and all the characters are sitting there sort of going, well, yeah, I suppose we could have done it without him.
Bit short, isn't he?
Yeah, so I think that is the problem with it. But we knew that was always going to be the problem.
Mm. Yeah. The cast, I mean, they're all people that I've never seen before. And this, in terms of the main cast. And so you've got in For Tonight We Might Die, which is directed by Ed Bazalgette, who's done a bit of Doctor Who in the past. You've got this whole kind of introduction to like these new characters, and I think reasonably well they get away with the introduction of, and I'm talking reasonably well, generally speaking. I felt there's one or two characters that aren't that good, but there's another pair of characters. I think Miss Quill, Catherine Kelly, I think she's a really interesting character, and Ram, played by Fady El-Sayed, the guy who has the girlfriend that gets killed in the first episode. I think he's really good as well. The rest of them I do find a bit dull and one note, whether it's that's in the performance or the writing, that old thing, I don't know. But there's this Shadowkin aliens. What did you think of those? Because they're a bit pyrovilous, but they're obviously not the pyrovilous. But I thought they were quite well realised.
Brian, do you want to? Yeah,
they weren't bad. I mean, it was better realized than some other aliens more recently in Doctor Who. I guess I'll say that. Yeah. But they weren't bad. Maybe one of the better points of the episode. Kind of having a play, I guess, on the Vashta Narada again, though, with a little meh.
Yeah. Those shadows.
But I suppose in the universe, of Doctor Who, there's a million different human-like races out there. Why can't there be two that have shadows as a theme?
No, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. So, I mean, if you're watching that first episode, as I know you two guys did, I mean, who stood out to you as the most interesting character, or the character that moved things along, or the character that you wanted to see more of?
Oh,
nothing
God.
Moved that episode along.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. I checked my watch. I checked the time code multiple times watching that episode, thinking surely it has to be over soon.
I had exactly.
And every time it was not.
Exactly. Oh, I didn't do it multiple times. It was about, I was coming and I was thinking, God, I must have about 5 minutes left of this. And I checked and it was 26 minutes in.
Oh.
And I could not believe it. I was like, this has been just a little bit longer than an episode of classic Doctor Who. Really?
I only did it once.
It was, you know, I
don't know how we're supposed to like the teacher at all. I'm sure they're probably going to soften the character up or something, but I don't even know what the point of that character
by
was.
By episode four,
not
they haven't.
At all.
By episode four, they haven't. But I like her. I think she's good.
I think the problem is that, I mean, there's one problem here, and it was one that Christian brought up when we were early talking about this about a week ago. It is a fact that, as Christian says, Christian's actually gone through and watched four episodes, so he's far better informed to give a sort of overview of how he feels class is than me and Brian. The problem I have is that there's this sort of, there is a problem, there's a big expectation, and probably a fair one if you're doing podcasts, that you should watch all the episodes. But I seriously got to the end of episode one and I watched 20 minutes of episode two and I just switched it off. I just was not interested at all. And that's a real problem, because you feel you're in a situation where you feel maybe I should watch them all, but then you think, if I have just not enjoyed this, why should I watch more of it?
Yeah,
and exactly. That was the problem. And I just did not. And I thought this was going to be the actual surprise one. I thought, you know, as we were saying a couple of weeks ago, that this was going to be the one that would actually change expectations and do something really good from something when we originally heard it was going to be released or developed, or put into production, was going to be, you know, ugh. And it has been, ugh. And it was really, seriously, and I could go into, I'm just cautious about being so negative, because, you know, Doctor Who gets so much negativity at the moment, and its spin-offs, I don't want to add to it, but I can't really find anything good to say about it. And that's a real awkward position to be in, because I don't want to be that guy.
I found it basically somebody took Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Torchwood, you know, shuffled them together and said, here's a new show. And it did nothing for me.
But that was the problem, wasn't it?
I'd have said Sarah Jane and Torchwood.
No, I'd have said
Buffy. Oh, it's totally Buffy, yeah.
I mean, that's one of the problems with it. I found that all its sort of meta or sort of self-reflexive sort of commentary that it'd have on itself, the jokes it would throw in, were really at the expense of just having to sort of say, yeah, we acknowledge this show's been done far too many times. You know, down to the hell mouth, down to the beginning of episode two, to the whole bit at the end of episode one about, you know, what this is in, you know, Vampire Diaries, and sort of really, and yeah, you know, it's a glib sort of, you know, being aware of your own genre, but it's also being almost like self-aware that this has been done over and over again, and we're not really offering anything new here. So if we sort of acknowledge that to you viewers, you'll just take it for what we are, and I think that's a really bad sort of commentary to have on yourself.
I was just going to say too, like, I would have been happy if this was kind of in some ways more like what Sarah Jane Adventures was supposed to be. And by that, I mean like older kids and a more grown up audience, I guess, as the aim, a family drama rather than the kids show. Just because it seemed like Big Finish did a series of Sarah Jane radio plays, and they were great. They were actually really cool. She had a cool cast around her. They were neat. It ended on this massive cliffhanger, which will never get resolved. And it's a shame, and I would much rather pick up that show, that cliffhanger, than watch any of these ones again. And that's what Sarah Jane should have been. They shouldn't have marketed it toward children. Where this one, you know, you're putting a bunch of kids in high school. Are any of them actually even high school ages? Do they ever do that on a TV show? But anyway, you got a bunch of high school kids in a school. You have one of them who's essentially going to be the doctor. He's the alien. I guess the split between the kid and the teacher are going to be the doctor character for this particular show. But then there's a rift in space-time that's pulling all sorts of aliens through it, which is Torchwood. We've already done that TV show. And then the doctor just says, hey, you know, and Buffy. Yeah, exactly. And then the doctor's like, well, guess what, guys? If anybody's set to take care of these things, it's you kids, because clearly you've all shown that you have what it takes by now to do that kind of stupidity. Why? It's terrible. It's a terrible concept. The doctor should not have been there. As a matter of fact, if they were going to use the doctor in this show, they should have brought him in the last episode, and he should have said, what the hell do you all think you're doing, thinking you can do this on your own? You know, like, you should have called for help. There's UNIT, there's Torchwood. You should have done something. Why didn't you do this?
Because that's the thing, is if you're aiming at BBC Three and you're looking at sort of slight late teen audiences are fairly developed these days. You could do continual stories where they, and Christian, correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be, because you've seen more, they could be making things worse and worse and worse because they're not equipped to do it. And therefore you have something which is sort of slightly more bleak.
I wouldn't say that they're
cynical.
Making things worse, but they can't handle what's going on. I just want to go back to the alien prince guy, Charlie. He's not the doctor. He's not even Spock. He's utterly useless, utterly dull. Making him gay is the most interesting thing about him.
But I think I think you know what Brian meant, but they were meant to be the oddity in the...
Yeah. I think but it just hasn't turned out like that.
But it doesn't work.
The
Catherine
teacher
Kelly's
and him
the
are the doctor split into two characters.
Well, no, they're not. She's the doctor, essentially. He's, you know,
yeah,
Ram...
And he is too by the nature of being an alien, which
but
has a bit of a moral
all.
Center,
by
according
by
to the
nothing,
first episode.
Yeah, but nothing more than name. He does nothing.
Yeah, but he's got the moral center that she doesn't have, according to the first episode. So that's what I'm saying. Like it's the same character split into two people.
By episode 4, it's gone nowhere. He's utterly useless.
Well, then what the fuck is anybody watching this show for?
I think there are some good people in there. I think Catherine Kelly's good. Fadi El Sayed, who plays Ram, he's good as well. The two girls are quite good. But the way it's been conceived is not the way it's turned out.
All right, well, let's look at it this way. You have the teacher woman who's trapped there, okay? She's trapped because she's a slave to the other guy who apparently is no point to him whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You have the Fade guy, or Fadey guy, whatever you want to say, who's now got the robotic leg.
You've got
the other girl who has a shadow heart, or her heart is trapped with a shadow. What's the other girl got? Does anybody in the show not have anything special to them in any way? Like, is she the only one, you know? Like, yeah, what is there?
So far, by episode 4, she's the only one. Although she does have a dead father.
And, that's a superpower.
Which isn't a superpower, but it's key to episode 3. Now, episode 3, I would recommend anyone to watch.
Which is funny, because I heard from other people say episode 3 was the worst.
I thought it was excellent. Because, I'll tell you why, the others are all trying to go too big. The others are all trying to go beyond what this show's capable of. Episode 3 is not perfect, but it doesn't try and do too much. It doesn't think it's Doctor Who. It doesn't think it's Buffy. It doesn't think it's Torchwood. It stays within the confines of its format without doing... And which is a surprise, given the other episodes.
What is its format? Its format is aliens come to the school and these kids who have no experience have to stop them.
Episode 3 doesn't feel like it's trying to do too much, okay? What happens in episode 3 is there's aliens that are like lizard tongues, and at the end of the lizard tongues, they create dead people who are lost to the associated person. So they go to the Tanya girl, and the tongue pretends to be her father, or creates an image of her father from her memory, or whatever like that. And the idea is they're then conned into holding hands with the deceased person, and then they get pulled back and through the rift and then consumed. That's the modus operandi of these creatures. So it's an interesting creature. It's an interesting atmosphere. It's possibly a little bit too heavy on dialogue, but it's by far and away the best episode of the 4 so far, in my opinion. And I've watched a lot of telly.
Well, that's a problem. We've all watched a lot of telly, and sometimes you get to a point where, I mean, to be fair for me, getting to iPlayer at the moment is quite hard, thanks to the new rulings on the licensing, which I have no interest in breaking. It makes it very hard for me to get to get to see it. Otherwise, I probably. But I do feel at the same time that, I mean, the first episode for me, one of the major problems was, and I think it didn't feel structured properly. I mean, you had this massive exposition bit in the middle, which went on forever, which they tried to sort of put a few clever ideas into there to try and make it interesting in how it was being imagined by the character. But ultimately, it was a really bit of long, clunky thing that would be suited to a book, mm-hmm. but you can't do in television. And it just weighed the whole thing down to a point you're thinking, well, you've got a sequential series here. You could have left a lot of that till episode 5, made it something to explore later, and just let these characters play out as they are and let audiences wonder what the hell's going on. But you wedge this in, and then Brian says, you have to wedge everyone with it, their own issue, you know, the heart thing and the leg, which, to be honest, the leg thing wasn't so bad to me. I thought that was a little dark, it was a little gruesome, it felt like it was something that they wanted to do with the show, but the show wasn't letting them do properly.
The only cheap thing about it was their way of putting this, the quote, cool kid with the nerdy bunch.
Yeah, there was that. And I think also, again, it's that whole thing that they do so much with heroes, is the girl had been absolutely killed, you know, had been killed. But really, all the time, we're meant to feel sorry for him.
Right.
It's like, yeah, but this, what's about her? No, it's about him and his missing leg now. Forget about her. It was him dealing with his leg, because he can't play football anymore.
Well, he's forgotten about her in a couple of weeks, so...
That's what I mean, and that, again, feels very old-style television writing. Yeah.
And
that is
a big problem, because what I was going to come on to, this is obviously a BBC Three production, which is now online.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to make an effort to watch something online. You have to go on, you know, you've got to switch your TV box on or your tablet on, then you've got to go and find what you want to watch on your chosen network of streaming things. Now,
I'm not... problems.
Well, my issue is here, or the point I'm making here, is you've got a choice between Amazon, Netflix, BBC, maybe Hulu as well in the US. Are you going to go for this, or are you going to go for one of the big productions that are coming out of Amazon or Netflix? Are you going to go for this, or are you going to, as a Doctor Who fan, are you going to go and watch Matt Smith be Prince Philip? Are you going to go for this? Are you going to pick up reruns? And I am, you know, we're talking to like age focusing now, because this is ostensibly for teenagers or young adults. You know, they're watching Game of Thrones and all those other violent shows on Netflix and Amazon. I will be very, very surprised if this gets a second series. I'll be stunned. I mean, if this was on TV, I don't think it would get to the end of the eighth episode, based on what we've seen so far.
I mean, the problem is, we've got here, and you, what you're saying, I think, is really true. That, you know, and this is, and added to the fact, as I say, that the BBC licensing has changed, if those in the UK don't know, they've changed it, that ITV, beforehand, iPlayer was something that anyone in the UK could watch without a license. But now you have to have a license to watch iPlayer, and you're aiming, this BBC Three is aimed at young teens. A lot of them will be leaving home, so they'll be at universities or whatever. They're not going to have that license, not going to pay the extra 140 odd quid or whatever it is now to get that license on top of the Netflix they might be playing for anyway, which is cheaper.
Well, the other thing about Netflix is, if your parents have got Netflix, you can use Netflix.
Oh, absolutely, exactly. So you don't have that issue. So you've got a platform which doesn't really relate to the content which most teenagers watch, that is now inaccessible, which I think is really bad for the BBC. My main contention is not to do with class, is that by doing that with iPlayer, you start to make the BBC less valued to young generations, which means they're going to have less interest in keeping it alive as they get older. Mm. So, you know, you can't afford to cut, the young kids out of the BBC entirely. I think it's a really dangerous thing to do. And then to sort of say, put programming on like this, which is aimed at them, which is just not, as you say, it just doesn't compare to the rest of the market, which is aimed at them doing really good stuff. And yeah, you're right. I think it's there's a political problem there for the BBC. And as you say, it doesn't help class in one way. But then, like we've said, I'm not sure whether... I don't know. I don't want to say I don't want to help class. I think the message here is, go and watch it. I mean, Christian is getting through it and he's got issues with it. But he's, you know, you're sort of... you're watching them.
Mm-hmm.
You might watch it and really like it. So we're not trying to say don't, but... same time, honest opinion here was that it was the worst bit of BBC of television I'd seen in a long time. You know, acting was fine. Sets were fine. There were some interesting ideas in the story. I'm not really even knocking this, but it just didn't come together. It was just too old-fashioned, too clunky, too irrelevant. And I didn't even feel like it had been really written with teenagers. They didn't feel like teenagers. They felt like a sort of 40-year-old writing teenagers. It didn't feel as if it had adequate research. And that could be me being wrong. I don't know. But it just didn't feel genuine enough. It felt, you know, it felt 2002.
Yeah.
It also doesn't even feel like it's a slot that really needed filling. Like, Doctor Who should be filling that need of a science fiction drama right now. And, you know, unfortunately, this year we don't have a series, which, oh, look, surprisingly perfect to fit class in that schedule. It just doesn't... it didn't work for me. And, you know, I agree with what James was saying, you know, go make up your own mind. That's what everybody should do. That's why I never listen to critics myself. I always go make up my own mind. But this did have issues. And I've been sitting here while you guys were talking, and I thought, you know, had they done a full episode with the teacher and the alien boy and the doctor coming to rescue them and take them and plant them on Earth, if that was episode one, that might have been interesting, because then you got to see what their lives were like. You got to see what they lived through. You got to see the doctor pull them from that and maybe do something a bit more substantial than what he did in the actual first episode, then leave them behind and then leave. And maybe just leave them behind saying, you know, blend in. And then have the doctor come back like six episodes later or something and realize, well, crap, something happened. There's been a rift in time here, which, by the way, is a lame idea to go with. They should have gone with something else. But then have him say like, oh wow, you know, like you and then this band of kids you pulled together, you're actually doing some good work here, because there would have been at least, you know, five episodes or four episodes anyway without the Doctor to help out, and he would have seen a need. We would have seen a need after episode one with the Doctor going, oh, I don't know anybody better than you suited to take on this task. Well, guess what, Doctor? There's a million people on Earth right now better than them suited to this task, and you know them all. You know, it's like, it didn't work. It didn't sell. That needed to come later. They were trying to like push it, and it just did not work.
And it did nothing for his character in the end as well, because like you say, I mean, he even acknowledges the reason that there's lots of rifty things there is because of his TARDIS constantly appearing around there. So he puts them in a place, not just which is full of, you know, potential tears, but amongst children. You know, it's like that to me just doesn't feel like something he would do. Yeah, I know Sarah Jane Adventures does it. And yeah, we've seen Kill the Moon where he does it as well. So you could, suppose, argue somehow it's in character. But it just doesn't feel right. It feels like a real betrayal of really what I think that character would be about. And putting people in a place where there is danger and maybe creating more danger for kids, it just feels like, yeah, if you're going to use a Doctor, like you said, Brian, you've got to try and find a better way, I think, to weave him in there. There needs
he
to be more
attempt.
He should
have been the validation that we're looking for the series. We should have watched the episode one. He should have had very minimal stuff going on in there, just a cameo, save the people, get them over here. Maybe he should have been the setup, I guess, basically. And then as we watch the series, you know, coming into it, like, that's part of what ruined the first episode for me. None of these kids were up to this task. Not even that teacher. No, nobody was up to this task. Nobody did anything good. Only one of them thought of something good to do, and that was to turn on the lights. And then it was kind of like, okay, well, you had a great idea. You just needed more power. Well, that's great, Doctor. Without a sonic screwdriver, where were they going to get more power?
And oh, exactly,
so her good idea went out the window. We didn't get to see them think of a better solution without a sonic screwdriver. It should have been, you know, episode two, episode three, episode four, we're starting to see them come into their own, get used to this stuff, be smart. Maybe one of them is a smart kid, has a bit of a sciencey background, you know, in some ways, whatever. And then the Doctor comes in after we start to feel validated for these kids, and he comes in and shows how impressed he is. And we're supposed to be sitting there with him going, yeah, we're impressed too. They can handle this. Good on them. And then he tells us why all these aliens are coming here. But it just didn't work. It came in. They wanted him to come in and tell the audience, these kids are cool. They've got it. You can watch this show. I'm out of here. But that's not how you do it. You can't just come in and say, hey, this show's good. Watch it and have that work. It doesn't work.
Well, that was the fear, wasn't it? You feel this underlining fear that they knew that if they'd bookended him and put him at the beginning, people would have then turned off when he'd gone. So they try and keep him to the very end. And by doing so, they end up just leaving him to sort of save the day, rather than letting them do it, because right, there's that fear that if they didn't put him in too early, people would just leave it, that he was the only reason they felt that people would watch it to the end.
And the key thing you said too was they brought him in to save the day. So what was the point of all the kids in the story? What's the point of the show about those kids if they brought the Doctor in to save the day?
Yeah,
you know, like, just doesn't, it just didn't sell. And like, I can't, like, you started the next episode, James, like 20 minutes in, you said, and then you gave up. I couldn't even put the next one on after how long the first one felt and after how badly it fell apart. I couldn't. Christian, I applaud you for going into it, and I applaud you for even in some way enjoying it, but it's not for me. Maybe somebody else out there is, and maybe it will get lucky enough to have another series, but it's not a show I need to watch.
Do you?
Well, you know?
I was going to say, do you feel as though our initial reservations are vindicated?
I not intentionally. I don't know. I didn't quite imagine it to be as messy as this. I thought it would be a sort of more sort of dumbed down, simpler affair.
Yeah, we were more concerned as to the point of it, weren't we?
Yes.
And I don't think that's really changed, has it? Because there still doesn't seem to be a point to it either as a hole that it fills on TV or as an addition to the Doctor Who universe.
I think the main problem for me was with the way Doctor Who has been going, I had no confidence in the fact that a spin-off TV show at this point was going to improve anything. Mm. Until Doctor Who gets its feet back on the ground solidly, then I don't feel that a TV show shot off from it can amount to anything. If somehow this show did, you know, supersede it and become better, then you even have a major problem. Like, yeah. Let's just say that this show captivated me and made me watch up to episode 4 with you. And I was sitting here saying all sorts of good things. That's a bad thing. You know, it's good for that show, but it's a bad thing for Doctor Who. That yeah. A spinoff show would be captivating me more than the main show. Right now, I don't know. I mean, like, it's in a bad limbo state. Maybe it's Moffat, like I have been saying. I won't speak for anybody else, but maybe it's Moffat, like I've been saying. Or maybe it's just that the show just has run out of ideas, and maybe it does need a break, or maybe it just ran its course, you know, and no one has realized it yet.
I don't either.
I'm just saying, like, could, you know, maybe those are the things, but
there's just stuff in that class which didn't have to. I mean, like you say, I mean, there's ways to have done that which should have been a little more fresh. And then the whole thing's like, you know, the lead girl who is meant to be nice or kind, but, you know, no one notices her, and yet she's got, really, quite frankly, she's quite a stunning girl. You can tell, okay, they've done her down a bit with the hair and the makeup, but she's not someone that people would ignore. So you get these standard tropes you almost expect in a horror film. They felt like sort of horror film characters rather than, which may in some ways might have been an intention to homage horror because they wanted to go down a bit that route, but it didn't really feel like a homage to anything. It just felt like a pastiche of things had been done.
And that's a really good point, Brian Mace. If you have a spin-off that is potentially better than the original. Doctor Who's previous spin-offs did so well because Doctor Who was, as Russell T. Davies described it, was the mothership.
Yeah.
It's like the control and the very strong TV show, massive TV show, a sort of a beacon, and these other bits sort of complement it and do their own thing and then go back to it and feed into it and whatever. But you can't see Class doing that and working. And Doctor Who at the moment, and, you know, God bless Peter Capaldi, because he's pissing carries the show.
Absolutely.
You know, but it is not as strong as it was 10 years ago, and it's suffering for it. And like you say, if it got to the point where, if by some insane parallel universe situation, Class did turn out to be better than Doctor Who, then you're right, Doctor Who.
But it's weird because they're both insane. Because it's not like it feels like it's tired in naturally. I know we're going back to Doctor Who. Go to Series 9. And you can literally pick the points where if they'd done something different, it would have been so much better. If they'd killed Clara off in the Crow, Night of the Crow, whatever it was called, that would have made that series so much stronger. If they'd not sort of had to keep returning to the, I can't even remember her name, Me arc, which at the end.
She's a recurring Richard Byers or Helen Pace, or Beryl Reed from Earthshock. She's a recurring Beryl Reed. Okay, she's been brought in because she's British and she's in a massive TV show, and they've brought her in whilst that show's not on air and not recording, to get column inches for publicity. And, you know, good actress, but she wasn't right for it. The character wasn't right for it. They should have just, you know, if they wanted to use her, just leave her where she was, not resurrect her.
Bold if they'd actually done a shorter season and just made it stronger. I know that's easy to say in retrospect, and it's unfair to production how the system works, but you just feel if you take, like, even the Dalek one, if you'd taken out the bloat out of that story, it would have been a lot better. And you know, as I say, Heaven Sent was, you know, it was a nicely done thing. It wasn't perfect, but there was bits in that season and in season 8 which had sparks of doing something slightly new or doing something very stylish. So it's not like Doctor Who can't do it, and there's no reason why Class couldn't do it.
I think we've hit on this before. What Doctor Who needs to lose is any kind of idea for story arcs. They just need to get rid of them. I think Series 9 would have been improved tenfold by having Clara leave the way she did at the end of Series 8, because that was perfect. She was done, her story was done, carry on. Series 9 could have gone in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
But the reason I say that about the story arcs again, even though we've already hit there, is because look what happened in just one episode of Class. You have the teacher and you have that student who are both aliens. And instead of do what modern storytelling usually likes to do with their TV shows, and what they could have easily done with Class, since it's a new show and has things you actually need to learn, they could have told us about their story, their lives, and how they got here over the course of a few episodes. But instead, they told us everything in the first episode. Mm, and sure, yeah, maybe there's more to find out Pepper here or there, but they told us everything. They just threw it all at you, you know, and they didn't even try and like hide it or make it a mystery or make you wonder or make you guess. Nothing for you to come back and go, I wonder if they're going to tell us this week what's about that guy. It just doesn't work in Doctor Who, because a TV show like Class, where it's all set in this school and things come to them, you can do that. You have so many characters that their lives can have running threads that we can learn more about from all the people surrounded by them. With Doctor Who, once you have so many running threads every season that the Doctor is being followed by this, that, or the other thing, despite the fact that he can live in any year, any planet, and any existence ever, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. And it just, it gets old. And I think we've even mentioned this before, that trying to watch a solo Moff episode, rarely can you ever do that in his era without it having some huge links to the overlying arc. They just need to get rid of that. They need to focus on the story that's at hand and make it the best that it is, rather than cram some unnecessary stuff.
Well, there's two approaches they can go.
Work better.
There's two approaches they can go, and that is to either do as you say and just stick to telling the stories, or if they want to do an arc or an ongoing narrative, then focus on doing a show that has an ongoing narrative, which isn't what Doctor Who's ever done before. So it would be quite experimental to do that. But you know, there's so many other shows doing that. They could easily go in that way, and you know, they could benefit from it if it was the right storyline. But the best thing that they need to do is just get rid of all the baggage and get to the end of Series 10, basically, and let the new guy in and take over and get rid of what he wants to get rid of, which hopefully is everything but the Doctor and the TARDIS.
Because it's a shame, right. You know, when you're talking, you say about, you know, Jenna Coleman's going in eight, and you think you could have done a bit of sequential in this through season nine, a bit like how the first season of Tom Baker worked. If you had the double episode, you got rid of Jenna Coleman in it, you'd have Missy and the Doctor working into Daleks. You could have truncated that a bit. That could have been quite tight. You could have done your Ashilda me thing next and just made that a two episode thing with the Doctor and Ashilda. You could have done the night, you could have brought Jenna back, could have killed her night in the Crow one, whatever it was called, I can't remember now. He could have gone into his Heaven Sent thing and sort of had his mopey one, and then Heaven Bent could have been just simply him going to Gallifrey and doing another totally story, which is absolutely irrelevant to the rest of the season, which stands on its own but can be led into it. You don't have to have him having to appear in the TARDIS each time. You could have had the Crow, Heaven Sent to Hell Bent as that sort of three, but they all would have their own relationships to each other, sort of like, so say, Ark in Space to Sontaran Experiment, or I suppose even Utopia to a degree to Sound of Drums, although you've still got the Master in them. But you can still have a little continuity, but it doesn't have to sort of be constantly trying to pull everything together, tie everything down, and just make everything feel messy, because some stuff just doesn't naturally link. You get to the Gallifrey one, you don't want to be thinking still about the Crow one. You want to be now thinking about the Gallifrey one, and let the Gallifrey one just be the story without having to be compared to a previous one. Just let this, you know, let them move to that story place without. And it's that sort of writing I think it's missing, where, yeah, you can have a little bit of continuity in it, but you should be able to have nice clean breaks and allow the audiences just to digest what's in front of them. And they're not doing that enough. And if they did that, I think they would find their freshness. And as you say, Class is a totally different issue. But again, I think they need to get away from looking at the past and take a few risks. And they're not taking risks. They've got the sheen of risks. You know, look, someone's legs come off. That's not a risk, you know, because most kids, teenage kids, will have seen that happen quite a lot of time in The Walking Dead and The Ilk. So, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, your risks is trying to defy some of the expectations. And yeah, her doing the lights and it not quite working, I see what you're trying to do there, but still not quite right.
What did they even get from that kid losing a leg? He lost a leg and immediately the Doctor gave him a new one. What struggle did that kid have to...
Oh, he couldn't play football. The week after.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, and it's just like...
It might prove useful later. It might prove useful later.
Yeah, the robot leg proving useful later? Of course it will. I mean, what else are you going to give somebody a robot leg for? You know, but or the fact that he's lost a leg, is that going to make him suddenly have a heart? You're like, what's going to happen there? What's better? You know.
So that's our take on Class and a bit of what's been going on when the Doctor Who TV series what could change. We need to know what you think of Class, so please get in touch with us. Tell us on Facebook, tell us on Twitter, and you could even, I know no one does, but you could even respond to us with a little audio boom of your own on Audio Boom. And if you don't want to do that, then please give us your reviews on iTunes, because that helps us immeasurably. Until next time, it's goodbye.